We need to carry these on our hearts. We need to believe that these passages, these prayers, are the answer for an understanding, for eyes that see, for hearts that know what God has done in Jesus. And just as we've been praying through the fast, one particular angle on these prayers stuck out to me. And it is in the first prayer, although it's suffused throughout Paul, throughout the gospel. But the particular thing that I want to draw our attention to, and I believe God wants to, is the hope of his calling there that's in Ephesians chapter 1. But in order to do that, I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 3, right there at the end. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So Paul's praying that we would see something. And one of the things I really believe that God wants us to see as a people is hope. The hope of his calling. And so that's what I'm going to focus on. I believe that's a sort of a word of God to us as a people, is that we would understand the hope of his calling. So Shannon said that people weren't going to remember anything past 5 minutes. So if you remember nothing else, remember hope. The hope of his calling. Let me give you a definition. If you're taking notes, this is a definition worth taking down. It's not mine. A future good, difficult but impossible to attain, by means of divine assistance, on whose help it leans. That's hope. Let me say it one more time. A future good, difficult but possible to attain, by means of the divine assistance on whose help it leans. Okay? Paul says there's a hope in our calling. And actually, I studied this afternoon. Paul talks a lot about hope. He talks about the hope laid up for us in heaven. And in here, he prays that we would have an understanding of the hope of his calling. And notice it says, this hope that we will acquire a future good, difficult but possible to attain with God's help, and we lean on that help to see it come to pass. God wants us as a people to live in hope. He wants us to live out of hope and to make our decisions out of hope. Now notice about hope that it assumes something's wrong. You don't hope unless there's something better coming. You don't hope unless things aren't as they should be. Does that make sense? If things aren't as they should be, and we have a promise from God that they will be as they ought to be, we have hope. Now consider the captives in Babylon, the Jews that were taken from their homeland, relatives killed, their temple, the place, the precious place where they worship God, destroyed. They were in a foreign land, and as they said, how can we sing the songs of Zion in a foreign land? But God gave a word to them by Jeremiah. He says, listen, I know, and everybody knows this passage, I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a hope and a future. His word to them was, your circumstances and your situation is not the end of the story, but my intention for you is a good intention. And this is very important, because I would say this is one of the worst moments of God chastening his people in the scripture. They are sent out of the land he promised to them. They are sent from his presence. And he says, even at the furthest distance from my presence, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Now, maybe our lives aren't in that kind of captivity, but whatever in your life is not as it ought to be, the gospel speaks a word of hope. Whatever in you, and you know, circumstances are bad, but I think the worst kind of thing in our lives is the things in us that are wrong. I mean, relationships can be bad, even our health can be bad, but it's our heart, our character, when that's not as it ought to be, that's the worst kind of misery. And even in that situation of our lives not being as we know God wants them to be, his message is there's a hope to our calling. Amen? And we need to stir up that hope. Now, hope is not optimism or positive thinking. Hope is not just thinking one day it will get better, feeling, oh, it'll be fine. Let me read this. Christian hope
The theological virtue of hope is not a wish or a feeling. It is a rock-solid certainty, a guarantee, an anchor. We bury our dead in the sure and certain hope of resurrection. Feelings are subject to every kind of wind of chance and change, from politics to digestion. But Christian hope has a foundation. It is a house built upon a rock, and that rock is Christ. Amen? The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. We sing to thee, little town of Bethlehem, the house of bread from which our souls are fed. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Does that make sense? So hope is not positive thinking. Hope is not wishing. Hope is not feeling. But it is a bedrock that we have in Jesus Christ. Hope is also a longing. When you see hope in scriptures and in other places, there is a hunger to it. There is a thirst to it. Another angle of hope, it is a movement or stretching forth of the appetites towards an arduous good. A stretching forth. Hope is not just, it'll probably be fine, but hope is a longing for what God promised would be, would come to be in our lives and everywhere. Notice how Paul puts it in Romans. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Our lives are not as they ought to be, and the world is not as it ought to be. The promise of the gospel is that God is going to set it right. And if you don't groan for that to happen, you don't know the hope of the gospel. You're pretty content with what you got here. We long to be made what God, to become what God intended us to be. Hope is also active. Hope is not passive. Hope is not irresponsible, but it is active. It commits. In 2 Corinthians 3:12, Paul says, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Since we have such a hope, we're not shy, we're not timid, we're not scared, but we are very bold. Only hope empowers us to take risks, engage in long-term projects, marry and have children, and refuse to capitulate in the face of despair. When you have no hope, you make no plans. When you have no hope, you don't aspire. When you have no hope, you throw up your hands and you give up. But when you have hope, you can commit and you can give and you can work because you believe that God is going to fulfill his promise. Amen? Hoping does not mean you do nothing. It is the opposite of desperate and panicky manipulations, of scurrying and worrying. And hoping is not dreaming. It is not spinning an illusion or fantasy to protect us from our boredom or our pain. It means a confident, alert expectation that God will do what he said he will do. Amen? It is imagination put in the harness of faith. It is a willingness to let God do it his way and in his time. That's hope. Now notice what God said to the captives in Babylon. They were in Babylon, and there were those with messages that said, you're going to come home from Babylon, and God said that is not the case. And they were in many ways without hope. And in the same chapter, that very familiar passage with, he says this to them. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. It takes planning and time to build houses. Plant gardens and eat their produce. Take seasons to do that. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. That was Israel, and that's us. This is not our home. We are pilgrims, the scripture says, and our hope is to arrive at a city that has been promised throughout the ages. but we are to pray for the welfare of this city. Because in this city that God has planted us is our welfare. But that takes time, and ultimately that takes hope. That takes a firm conviction of the promises of the gospel. Amen? When you have hope, you work. When you have hope, you work hard. You're willing to give yourself to toil, to sacrifice, to sometimes sufferings, because you have an expectation of a reward. You have an expectation of the fulfillment of a promise. You can sacrifice when you have hope. So my charge, my encouragement, this kind of feels like a graduation or a wedding. I have a lot of quotes, that's why. My charge is to challenge us to be a people of hope and to receive the hope of the gospel. Make long-term plans in your life in God. Take risks in your life in God. Aspire. Ask God for things you may be afraid to ask him for. Imagine, as this song, ponder anew what the Almighty can do if with his love he befriend thee. Imagine what he might do that is beyond what you have known or experienced thus far. Now, of course, I'm not saying you ask and you imagine and you plan to consume it on your lust. Everybody can take that away, right? It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, in the name of Jesus, because we have been loved, setting our sights higher in hope. Expanding our faith for what God might want to do in us and through us. Amen? William Carey, great quote. How many people know the William Carey quote that I'm about? You've heard it, you just don't know it's from William Carey. Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. That's not presumptuous when it's done in Jesus' name, when it's done with an understanding of his heart and his values. That's what I'm talking about. Plan with God's help. Make a long-term plan with friends, in accountability, in prayer, to see a stronghold in your life broken, or grow in an area you have not grown in, or be changed in a way that you cannot change yourself. Make a plan for that, because that's God's heart and his grace is available for it. Risk giving yourself to befriend others, to seek others, to help them come to know the good news of the gospel in Jesus Christ. Risk yourself and your time by committing yourself to another person to see them mature in Christ. It's a risk. It doesn't always work. I'm here to tell you. But sometimes it does. Sometimes God does things that are beyond what you could do when we do that. Aspire to become an elder. Paul said that was a beautiful work. That was a beautiful thing in God's eyes, to position and find your life in a stable place where you are strong in grace and you have a lot to give people so that they can mature. Aspire to stature your life so you have more of God's grace to give to other people. Amen? Ask for more of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told us to keep asking, and in particular to keep asking our Father for more of the Holy Spirit, and to not stop, because he said that the answer to our prayer is in our persistence, and we persist when we hope that he is going to answer our prayer. Amen? Imagine what God wants his people to be. Look around, see how we are, see where you are, see where your life is, see where others' life is. But know this, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. Amen? Give yourself to cooperating with God to see that happen in yourself and others. So my specific encouragement to us as a body, as a church, is to take the holidays, and I know they're busy, but to take the holidays and make these kinds of plans. Take the holidays and look back over your year and consider, based on the hope that we have been promised, what God might do in your life this year, and make plans in faith, in prayer, in accountability, but make plans, and then give yourself working hard to see them come to pass with the help of God. I shared this the other night on the Tuesday night meeting. Paul said, I worked harder than any of them. Yet it was God's grace that was working in me. But nonetheless, I worked really hard with God's help. I want to challenge us to work hard in God's grace to accomplish those things that he puts on our hearts to accomplish. Amen? A few more scriptures and then we'll come to the table. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Giving up happens when there is no hope, but when there is hope, oh, I'm going to reap. I'm going to see a reward on my investment. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Amen? Let me read that Ephesians scripture. Because I challenge us to aspire and to imagine and to plan, but we have to remember that God's plans are bigger and his aspirations are higher. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, he's leading us into that. Amen? Let's stand up and I'll read this and then I'll pray for us to come to the table. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So we're going to come to the table. The table is for all baptized disciples of Jesus. And I mean all baptized disciples of Jesus. Sometimes people are shy, but there is a way that Jesus wants to meet you at this table. You should not turn that down. You should not turn that invitation down. So let's come tonight in faith that God meets us here in this table by the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, we thank you for the hope laid up for us in heaven. God, it is not pie in the sky when we die. God, we do not now have to live for whatever pleasure we can get before we die because that's it. But Father, you have promised us a sure hope, Lord, that is an anchor for the soul. Father, you have promised that one day through your son Jesus, you are going to redeem our bodies and you are going to redeem the whole created order. You are going to restore all things. Father, we come to this table in faith and in clinging to that promise you have given us in Jesus. Father, we come to the broken body that was broken on the cross on our behalf, and we come to the blood that was shed, that is this cup. And Father, we ask that you would impart continually a grace by your Holy Spirit that would produce beautiful works in the name of your Son in this year to come. Father, we bless you for that. We thank you for this time of fasting and seeking you, and we thank you now that we come to feast on the flesh and the blood of your Son, and be nourished by his life anew. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's come to the table.